Last week we were talking about restoring fallen brethren, those who have fallen away, those who are derelict in their attendance, those who are not faithful. And we were considering some passages, looking at some parables, and had some brethren read, has even some of our young men to read. And today we want to kind of recap on some things, but also we told y'all that we were going to ask for names. We asked for those names, and y'all gave us names of individuals who have not been coming, those who we have been missing. And so what we did was the elders called those individuals, contacted those individuals, even went to go see some of them. And I wasn't really expecting for us to get in contact with them as quickly as we did, but actually we was able to contact probably 90% of them. And so we said that we was going to bring a report when that took place. Well, that's actually going to take place tonight. And so we want to cover some things before we actually look at some of those names and talk about some of those individuals. Perhaps you have some questions after we say what we need to say, the things that we heard from them directly, and you'll be pleased with some of the things that was said. First of all, we want to finish up some thoughts that we were considering on last week, and we was talking about taking some of those names and looking at some who need to be restored and what will it require of us. And so I want us to consider a few thoughts before we go into some of the names and some of the things that were said. Number one, it's going to require us when we start seeing some of these brethren come back and starting to encourage them, it's going to require prayer and supplication. And what do we mean by that? Going to God in prayer, but also supplicating on behalf of some of the brethren or all of the brethren that need to be restored. Let's look at Luke chapter 18. Let's look at some principles real quick. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to have Kipton, then Isaac. Look at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And then Isaac, I need you to get Matthew 18, verses 1 through 12. And at the proper time, I'll let you know when to read that. Tyler's in the back. Tyler, get Philippians 4 and verse number 6. And I have Luke, Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. And I'll call on you at the appropriate time. And so prayer and supplication, meaning we're going to God in prayer, but we are being persistent and we're talking to God about a specific theme. In this particular case, the restoration of brethren that have fallen away. And so if we can get our brethren who are not coming, let's find out why. Let's go to them. Let's talk to them. And then perhaps we can get them to have a change of mind, even to the point that we bring them to repentance. Because that's the key. See, it's not about them coming back only. But it's about them coming back, realizing, you know what? I should not have done that. I should not have forsaken the assembly. And I need to apologize to God. I need to let the church know that I'm sorry for what I've done. And then they are restored. It's not enough just to come back, sit in the back, and then act like nothing has taken place. And so Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, we see a persistence by an individual woman to a king. And it's very interesting. Kipton, are you ready? Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Let's read that.
For a while, but after wife who cried out day and night to him, though he bears along with him. I tell you that he will avenge them assembly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith upon the earth?
All right, good job, Captain. Good job. Slow down a little bit. You did good. Just slow down a little bit. All right. And so if you look at what's going on here, we have a judge. We have a widow. What is she doing to him that's causing him to be weary?
Nagging.
She's nagging him. That's cute. So she's nagging him, okay? So she's persistent. And what was his response? What was the judge's response?
Initially, I'm not going to do
anything. All right. Initially, he wasn't going to do anything. But then?
Because she wearied him.
She quit nagging him. Thank you. Well, and seriously, I guess that's what she was doing. You know, hey, I need this done. And so what happens when we go to God? We're not nagging God. I don't believe that God looks at us as naggers. If anything, he wants us to be persistent. And so when you think of supplication, supplication is actually being persistent about a specific thing or issue. Yes, sir, Brother Chad.
Well, that's the difference between this judge and God, is that this judge was unjust. He did not fear God. So it wasn't nagging to him, you know, but God doesn't see it.
That's right. That's right.
That's why he says, how much, you know, wouldn't God avenge his own?
That's right.
God. If this guy's willing to do it, wouldn't God even more be willing to do it?
Because he wants to hear from us.
Yes.
So you think of the context of what we're talking about, restoring lost brethren, restoring brethren that have fallen away. We ought to be going to God in prayer consistently, continually. Persistently going to God about these individuals. Why? Because we want them to be restored. We want them to repent. We want them to hear, well done. Tyler, Philippians 4, verse 6. There's a principle that I just want to bring out that actually helps us with what we just read in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Philippians 4, verse 6, Tyler.
Be anxious for nothing.
So that's the attitude that we ought to have, thankful heart. And we're going to God, we're requesting him. And so when we stop and we consider this, we want to continue to pray for these individuals, the names that y'all have given us, the names of people who have not been coming consistently. We want to continue to pray for them. And then when they start returning, we want to pray with them. So right now we're praying for them. When they return, we want to pray with them. Now, you notice how we're talking when they return, because we know they will. If we continue to do our part, they'll come back. All right. But we got to do our part, which means that we need to get up and we need to go. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. The context is dealing with shepherds. And of course, the shepherds of this particular time did not go after the people of God, allowed them to go out into the wilderness and be devoured, metaphorically speaking. And so God's people would be taken captive, and God says, I need to go back and get my own people. Luke, Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. Great job. What are some things that stick out to you? in this reading? What are some things that stick out? What was he going to do?
Feed.
Say again?
Feed.
All right, he's going to feed them. But what was he going to do before that? He's going to seek them out. He's going to search them out. All right, so there's one thing to know that our brethren are not here. There's another thing to know and do what? Go look for them. Go find them. Why? They're out there. What else did we notice? What was God going to do once he sought them out? It's in the text.
Deliver them.
All right, he's going to deliver them. What else was he going to do? He's going to gather them together. What else? Say again. Feed them. What else? Say again. He's going
to
bring them back to their own land. This, why would we go and seek out lost brethren who are not assembling just to go and say, hey, it's good to see you, but not encourage them, warn them to do what? Come back. I mean, if we'll go out and seek and save the lost, why wouldn't we go out and seek and save our own brethren who have already obeyed the gospel? And so God says, this is what I'm going to do. Any comments? Yes.
It says he's going to feed them with good pasture. Mm. So we need to take note of that. You know, not to treat anyone differently. If anything,
treat them better. That's right. That's a good point, Daniel. Great point. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes.
Going off what Brother Daniel said, not just good pasture, I see that as like good doctrine. Like God feeds them spiritually, so maybe they're out there, but they've been listening to some false doctrine. And he says, I'm going to bring them from out of the people, what people? Yeah. People of the world. The only time a person leaves the truth, they've been listening to something else. I'm going to bring them out of that, feed them some of that good pasture.
That's right. That's good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes.
He says that they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. So it's not like, you know, people he's seeking out. They're in a dark place.
That's right.
They need to be brought back.
That's right. Isaac, read Matthew 18, 10 through 12. Matthew 18, 10 through 12. Great job. Great job. So here we see that if a man has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, he's going to leave the 99, go to the mountains, whatever he needs to do, wherever heights he needs to do, wherever he needs to go, he's going to go find them. He's going to bring that one back. He's going to bring that one back. Okay. Now it's interesting that when you look at verse number 13, and we'll look at this. This will be our last little point in a few minutes, but we're going to find something in verse number 13 that's interesting. But I thought it was very encouraging that Jesus said he goes to the mountain. Well, when you think about mountains, when you're walking up mountains, hiking, it can get pretty strenuous. I'm not a hiker, but I do know when we used to go to Camp Hensel, we used to walk up that mountain. I hated that mountain. I was tired when I got to the top. And then I couldn't even enjoy the top because I didn't want to look over the ledge. That was dumb. They had some of the brethren sitting on. Anyway, I digress. But when you're climbing mountains, I mean, that's work. You know, going after lost brethren is work. And it becomes very tiresome sometimes. It's tiresome. Any comments before we go to the next point? This point I want us to consider. We need to use persuasive words of wisdom. Leon, James 3, 17 and 18. Tobias, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 10. And then birthday guy, Peyton. You know, today's Peyton's birthday, but we digress. Zechariah 1:13. And also add Proverbs 11:30 to that. Zechariah 1:13, Proverbs 11:30. Leon, James 3:17 and 18.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
So when we go out and we're talking to those brethren that have fallen away, we want to use wisdom from above, which means that we can't be out there browbeating them, hurting them more than what they already are. Find out what's going on. Could be a valid reason, could not be a valid reason. We don't know. We need to talk to them, need to chat with them. All right, Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 10. Notice the words that the preacher was looking for.
The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth.
So the preacher was looking for acceptable words, words that mattered. Zechariah 1:13 and then Proverbs 11, verse 30. Peyton.
The Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words.
And then Proverbs 11, 30. So we notice that we need to use words of wisdom, use words that are acceptable, use words that are comfortable, use words that are wise. And so I remember talking to a few people. Royce, he talked to a few. Tobias, we had him talk to a few. And just kind of hearing some of them out, listening to them, praying with them. And so these are some of the things that we want to share with you on today. Matthew 18, verse 13. Matthew 18, verse 13, I had Isaac read to verse 12 and had him stop at verse 12. Isaac, read verse 13 now. Matthew 18, 13. Now, isn't it interesting? He said, if you should find it, for surely I say, he rejoices. He rejoices. Chad brought one of these points up on last week. Look at Luke 15. And Chad, since you brought this point up last week, let's look at Luke 15. I want you to read verse number 5 through 10. Luke 15, 5 through 10.
And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
When individuals, brethren, start coming back, isn't that going to be a time of rejoicing for us? When we see them dock the doors again, but especially when they come back and they say, you know, I was wrong. I shouldn't have been gone. I should have been here. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for visiting me. Brethren, that's when we're going to rejoice. But it's so interesting that when I was looking at the text, you see the word repent. You see it in verse number 7. You see it also in verse number 10. God is looking for repentance. He's still looking for repentance. Even amongst us, he's looking for repentance. All right, so here are the ones that I was privileged to contact and kind of give you an update. If you have any questions, ask away. And then Royce, he has a few that he contacted, and Tobias really contacted some that were homebound and just needed some encouragement. At least that's what we thought. All right, so I contacted Gwen Caples, and it took two opportunities to call her. Finally got a hold of her. And really just being lazy. But her husband said that he was going to start coming with her. And I've never met the man. I just know that he used to come here. And so that was encouraging to hear. So they've been, she's been working two jobs. I don't know when she started working two jobs, but she said that she started working two jobs. Hopefully that will start to subside and she'll see the need to come to worship, and perhaps that might even bring him. And so that's something for us to be praying about. And so write her name down. Be thinking about her, Gwen Caples. And her husband's name is Brother Caples. Apparently, he had obeyed the gospel. I don't know. I've never met him. Dennis, do you know anything about that? Has he ever obeyed the gospel?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I know he was not a member.
Okay.
He did used to come with her.
Okay. So, like I said, I've never met him. But he even said with his own mouth, I plan on coming with her. I just thought that was pretty interesting. So we'll see. Any questions about the Caples? All right. Alice Guajardo, Eric actually helped us out with her, and but she told him that she was going to Ballinger. So we checked into that. And according to those in Ballinger, that's not necessarily the case. And so we did our part there, but if anybody knows her, give her a ring other than myself or Eric. Let's be praying about that, because if she says she's going somewhere, but that's not the case, that means she's not going anywhere. Okay? Because she says she specifically was going to Ballinger. How many congregations are in Ballinger? One. So if there was multiple, then we could say, well, maybe she's going to the other one. But that's not the case. Any questions or comments on that? Yes. So one doesn't physically meet, and her mother attends there. And so if anybody ought to know, it ought to be them. Any other comments? Appreciate that. All right. Jeff and Betty Hassenfluck. I left a few messages. Thank you. And I haven't received any type of correspondence back from neither one of them. I usually hear back from Betty when she texts. When I text her, the voicemail is not set up, so I could not leave a message. So text her, text him. Her voicemail is not set up, so I just kind of left a message for Jeff. All right. Stephanie Coronado. Who remembers her? Anybody remember Stephanie? Okay. She was the one that came, and her son was Alejandro. Anyway, I actually did talk to her, and so right now she has a lot of anxieties. Her mother is in the hospital in San Antonio. She has those challenges going on in her life right now. She did say that she did miss us and that she was coming back. And so I tried to encourage her and pray with her, and hopefully we'll see some change there. That's Stephanie Coronado. Thankful for Sister Mary in helping us out with that. Mary Lou. Mary Lou is actually back there. And so it's good to see Mary Lou. She's been having a lot of health concerns. And I wrote down on my paper a few days ago that she'll be coming back soon. But she came back already. So praise be to God that she's back there. So we're going to keep praying for you, Mary Lou. Okay? We love you. All right? Zane and Tristan Smith, they've just been having problems after problems after problems, needing encouragement. Actually said they're looking for a Christian fellowship. We do need to keep them in prayer. They obeyed the gospel during the pandemic, kind of spotty. But definitely have good hearts, really striving to do that which is right. And even asked if you know, we would be willing to kind of hang out with them. I said, of course we would. And so he was excited about that. So let's keep Zane and Tristan, that's a father and a son, in our prayers. Sister Mary Lou, let's keep her in our prayers. Stephanie Coronado, Jeff and Betty Hassenfluck, Alice Guajardo, Gwen Caples, keep them in our prayers. I was also able to talk with Sister Almeda Richardson, and she needs our prayers. So let's keep her in our prayers. If anybody has Sandra Peel's number, get that for us, because her phone number has been disconnected. We don't have her number. At least the number that's in the directory is not right. Ma'am? Sandra Peel? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We'll check on that. Probably just need to go up there. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, Brother Royce has a few names that he wants to come and talk about. Ma'am?
I have a friend in the house, I can find out.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Let me add something to what Mike said about Zane and Tristan Smith. Tristan, the son, broke his hand. And I talked to Zane about it, and it's what's called a boxer's fracture. So I don't exactly know what that is, but they've been battling, or Tristan's been battling, not being able to keep his food down. This has been an ongoing thing with him for quite some time. Anybody who's looked at him can tell that he's having issues. Very frail looking, and they just need encouragement. I know Mike's had contact with them. I've had contact with them. They just need encouragement. But they did say, Zane did say, that he was very appreciative for the contact that we've made. So let's stay on top of them. Like I say, they did come in at a difficult time. They obeyed the gospel during the pandemic issue, and though we didn't shut down here, this was a hard time for a lot of people. I contacted Sister Susan Boatwright. It was good to see her this morning. I did not get a chance because of the baptism after served during services to get back to her and talk to her, visit with her. But it was good to see her, because when I contacted her, she just admitted she just has been lazy about it, and has not been doing what she needs to do, and so had planned on being back this Sunday morning, and she was, and we're grateful for that. We just need to continue to encourage Susan in her daily walk with Christ as well. Had an opportunity to talk to Kim and Kelly Kenny. They have not been coming here on a pretty regular basis, and come to find out, they have moved their membership over to Southgate. So they haven't been here. And I wish, for lack of a better way to put it, not that we want anybody to leave here. We don't. But if you do, and you're going to be moving your membership, or you're going to be moving out of town, let us know, so that we can accept the fact that you're no longer a responsibility of this eldership, and we take that responsibility very seriously. It's not something we take lightly at all. And I wish they had contacted us, but they didn't. And having that contact with them, I believe it is Kelly's mother who is has got some health issues. They're closer to that, her and Southgate congregation is a little closer to them than we are. They are no longer members here, and wanted that to be known. I'm trying to think. I think that's the only ones. Other than that, we had some overlapping people I call that Mike had already talked about. We won't go over those again. I do want to make a real quick notation here. We have been blessed here for about the past, 4 months or so with Brother Devin. He is going to be leaving us now. He's in the military, and they don't let him stay here in San Angelo very long when they're in these training programs. We're going to miss him greatly, but he'll be going to San Antonio. And He'll be looking for a good sound congregation. I know Mike has talked to him about a couple of them there. And Devin, again, we love and appreciate you so much. Glad you've come our way. We're going to miss every aspect of you being here because you were always here every chance you could be. And we're going to miss your voice, I promise you. That great song-leading voice, we appreciate that. And come back to see us. San Antonio and San Angelo aren't that far apart. You can come back and see us sometime. I think that's got mine. Tobias?
I was blessed with the opportunity to call some of our homebound members. It's not that they are missing, it's that they physically cannot be here. I called Brother Bill McNerlin, Brother Methus Williams, and Brother Bill Reed. I'll start with Brother Bill McNerlin. I've never met them, and the wife answered the phone, and she seemed to be doing well. I'm not sure if he was doing well. She had to go get him up to answer the phone. I asked him how he was doing. He was like, well, just taking it one day at a time. And I said, well, it's good to hear from you. I had to introduce myself, try to explain what the purpose of the call was, to let him know why I was calling. He appreciated the call very much. And I asked him, before I get off the phone with you, is there any prayer requests? He says, just health-wise, of course. He didn't really hint at if he was going to try to make it or not, but see, I understand being a homebound member. Now, the other two, Brother Williams and Brother Reed, was a little different. They were having a good day when I called. Brother Williams says he has good days and he has bad days, but they kind of coincide. One moment throughout the day, he could be doing well. I actually called him Wednesday morning, and he had planned to attend Bible study that night. I didn't see him. Did anyone here see him? I don't know what happened Wednesday, how I missed him, if he was here. But he had called. He was doing good that Wednesday morning, but he says, we'll see how things go. And so I'm assuming things didn't go too well because he had planned to be here. And he plans to be here when he can. That's Brother Methus Williams. But obviously he couldn't make it Wednesday, but please keep him in prayer. Brother McNerlin as well. And Brother Bill Reed was, kind of wanted to save the best for last. I called him to check on him and he's asking how other members are doing. And I'm like, that's really encouraging to me. He had a good day. That was a good day for him. He's not always up, feeling the best. And he wanted to know how Brother Larry Wood was doing. And so, I had to step up my game and go visit Brother Wood because I hadn't visited you. I had only heard about how you were doing. And I don't want to tell people what I hear say, she say. So I made it my business to go visit Brother Wood so I could port back to Brother Reed and let him know word that I saw him with my own eyes. And he was doing very well that day, that Wednesday as well. No, I'm sorry, that Tuesday. I called him that Tuesday. But yes, sir. It's always a joy to call him. He'll text me sometimes after a sermon or after I lead some singing, and he always has something positive to say. God was pleased, something he'll say. And so I really appreciate, he always encourages me. But if you get the chance, get their numbers from the directory and give these brothers a call and keep them in prayer.
Appreciate that, good brother. Appreciate that. Also, James and Ebony Clark, a few months back, we sent them a letter of withdrawal of fellowship, and that's not always fun. Unfortunately, it's necessary. And I believe Mark actually saw James in the HEB, and you had an opportunity to talk to him. And so if you come across the Clarks, give them a word of encouragement. They're not our enemies. They're our brethren, and we want them to turn from their ways and turn toward righteousness. So let's keep them in our prayers. Hopefully they'll turn Sister Carolyn Simpson, voicemail's not set up. So if at any time you can go see some of these individuals, that would be great. Are there any other names that we possibly missed or come to mind since last week that we can contact? Yes.
Tammy Hensley.
She
was baptized here 3 years ago.
I remember her. You have her number?
Well, it's in the record. I think it was in the record. Mm-hmm. Or
something. Yeah, let's talk about that, okay? That'd be good. Tammy Hensley. Yes, ma'am. Where's Mitchell?
So he's out of town with his family on summer break. He should be coming back here soon.
All right. So according to Leon, Mitchell should be returning back soon. He went back home. Mitchell Martin. Thank you. Yes, Chad.
Johnny Caskey.
Johnny Caskey?
Yes, she's the sister of Miss Heisley.
Oh, she did.
In the middle of COVID time frame. Dennis and I went and saw her one time.
Do you have information for her?
I didn't find it.
Yeah, give that to us, please. Anyone else? Mary. Okay. We can search the archives like Darius told the Children of Israel. Anna. Jolene? Thank you for bringing her up.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll contact them. We'll contact them this week. Anyone else? I thought I saw a hand. That's it? Dennis.
There's a family that used to come over here this morning, the first time I've seen it in months. They have all the kids that left right after the Lord's Supper. They never placed membership on it. He had sent me a friend request on Facebook that he may have to remove you, but I couldn't find him. I can't remember his name.
If we can get that information from them, we can call them and see. Because I know he does a little bit of preaching. I know that. But they left right after the Lord's Supper, wasn't it?
Taylor's.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Jane, Larry.
I think I should mention this, but when Titus came to visit me at the hospital, and my son Joseph was there, he did our service for a while. I don't remember how long. He basically calls himself an atheist now. But before Tobias left, he had him by the hand, had his head bowed, and I was going out for the
father. Amen. So let's keep Joseph in our prayers and the Woods family. Let's do that. Yes, sir. We'll do that. Anyone else?
I just want to say that this Leon, I was outside here that one night there that working a puzzle and a light there, and he stopped by and here that invited me, or that my sister is used me and put me in a I guess you'd call it a, it's called here, but the Cedar Manor here, that it's a nursing home, but then here I'd have no nursing care at all, anything like that. So here I do not enjoy being with the people there, anything like that. But then here I would sure like to be with my own type of people in here that he invited me to be here, come here, and so here that I enjoy it very much.
And we're thankful that you're here, brother. We're thankful for you being here. We'll talk more with you. Yes. Now, I want to, two more things, and I'll save this for last, and then we'll have our prayer, closing prayer. But last week we asked for names, and Kipton and Isaac gave us some names. And I believe it's just appropriate for us to read these and add these to our prayer list. Who has closing prayer? Eric? One of them says, pray for the Creed family. Creed and family Martins is the last name. Is that right? Okay. And so this is what he says, pray to come to the right church. And so we want to keep them in our prayers, but we also want to see what we can do to help y'all with them. And so whatever we can do, let's do that. Also, same thing, but this is it Desmond? Am I reading that right? And the Roy family. All right, so even though this is not really what we asked for, but how do you refuse these? And so we want to pray for these opportunities, and perhaps we'll have an opportunity to talk with them, get their information, or even help the Shurtles and help the Cochrans with these opportunities. And so we're going to ask, any final thoughts? Any final thoughts? Yes, Jamie.
Josh was applying to BTP and he asked for prayers for safe travel.
Okay. Pray for Josh. Anyone else? Yes, Peyton.
Kind of a preparatory comment for Rob Whitaker coming in the spring. He does, and where he's seen a lot of growth in congregations, whether there's people falling away or prospects for evangelism, establishing a card writing program, and the entire congregation is reaching out to individuals through handwritten letters.
Yes.
If you think about it, these individuals who, I didn't know a lot of these names, have been gone for several years, but if they were to receive 50 cards in the mail over the course of a week, what type of impact that would make on them to bring them back?
That's right. Right. Let's keep that in mind. We'll be talking about that. Leon and then Mark.
Josh
was very tired this morning from working very hard. So I did talk with him on the phone. So Josh Jennings, he's doing well. He just could not make it today because of being in pain today.
Just prayed with the congregation for a triple block next week.
The Whitsets are going to be out of town for a couple of weeks. They're going to Thailand. And so just take care of my daughter. She has something growing in her, all right? Anyone else? Zach.
I was just going to make one comment about the parable of the lost sheep, which is where it says that God rejoices more about the one coming back than the 99 being there.
That's right.
As much as God enjoys us being here together right now, he would enjoy it even more if he brought people back.
And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And so it was amazing to see Sister Susan this morning. It was so encouraging. And so let's keep calling her. Let's keep encouraging her. And it's always good to see Sister Boatwright. You're always here. And thank you. You know, keep her encouraged as well. All right. Yes. Who has a... That's it?